Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. Since August 5th, hundreds of asylum seekers and migrants have arrived by bus in New York City from the U.S.-Mexico border. Their arrival is part of a plan organized by Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Abbott claimed in a recent interview with KRIS 6 News in Corpus Christi that this is merely an attempt to help small border towns deal with the high number of people passing through from Mexico. But the governor also signaled a more political reason.
It's had a byproduct of being eye-opening for liberal leaders in places like Washington and New York. Now the country is seeing something that we've been dealing with every single day.
I'm joined now by WNYC's Arun Venugopal. Thanks for coming back on the show, Arun.
Great to be here, Melissa.
Okay, who are the people who are arriving?
Well, they are people, migrants, who are leaving a number of different countries, primarily in Central and South America. I think the biggest number, as I understand it, are coming from Venezuela, which has had one of the world's largest refugee crises. I mean, 6-7 million people who've left that country due to an economic crisis. And they've made their way up, along with people from Colombia, Ecuador, other countries. They've made their way up through Central America, through Mexico, and to the border where they've sought asylum.
Given that they are asylum seekers, is there international or national law here in the U.S. that would dictate how they ought to be treated?
Yes. I mean, they certainly should be processed and given the right to prove their asylum claims. And what's happening is the process is being disrupted. And part of that disruption, according to advocates, is that they're being sent to places around the country without their sort of informed consent. And so officials in Texas are putting them on these buses or telling them to go to Catholic Charities in Midtown in Manhattan, and they arrive here without any coordination. And that's what's really broken down. Traditionally, you have this coordination between these border states and other locations like New York, where they may be receiving, you know, migrants on an ongoing basis. This is something that happens all the time, but it's happening in much greater numbers now, and it sort of threw off New York City officials and nonprofit groups who may have been used to this, but now are receiving much greater numbers without any real sense of why these people are coming. Now they seem to have some sense that it's because of politics.
Help me understand your point about informed consent. What are individuals or families being told about where they're going and what's going to greet them when they arrive?
Well, there's a form called a notice of removal proceedings, and this is something that each one of these individuals has received. I've been shown one of these by a nonprofit group, an immigration rights organization, where they say, look, and they redacted certain information that was sensitive. Basically, like, this is where you can see the address that has been put down. Here's the organization. It's us, you know, Catholic Charities, for instance, in New York City. And so these migrants may be put on a bus and told, you're going to go here to New York City. Now, the problem is that, A, the receiving organization doesn't have any idea that that's the case. The individual doesn't really have any understand why this is the case either. They're told, oh, your removal proceedings are going to be in the Federal Plaza in downtown Manhattan. Actually, they have perhaps a relative in Florida or in Atlanta or in L.A. where they want to be able to stay with them and help, you know, be helped in navigating the system in America. This may take months or years for them to, you know, acclimate. And so this is kind of like throwing off traditional patterns of how people come here and settle down and try to make their claim before eventually either, say, receiving asylum or being told, no, you don't qualify and you're going to have to go back to your native country.
Now, Arun, New York City Mayor Eric Adams says that the city's homeless systems are at capacity and is blaming asylum seekers who've been coming since May. What do you make of this claim?
Well, this is something that's really become both a local sort of controversy as well as something that's playing out on the national stage. The capacity in shelter systems has been dropping for months now, and many people have been warning the city that they need to free up more space, find more space for for people who are entering the homeless system prior to this sort of this immigrant, this migrant bus scenario that we're seeing play out. So they've received a lot of warnings. And now many advocates say that they're using the migrant crisis as a way to sort of deflect accountability, deflect blame from the larger situation of housing, which is, you know, with the pandemic, a lot of people have been lost their jobs. Many of them, there's an eviction moratorium, which is lapsed. And so a lot of people are sort of like being thrown out of their homes due to skyrocketing rents. So there's all these different factors that have to do with a much larger sort of local political problem. There are certainly hundreds of people, perhaps thousands, according to the city, who have arrived in the city. But that is only one part of a much larger problem.
Given this larger problem, what are the conditions that are facing folks when they do find themselves in these shelters?
Well, there are people who are, I guess, being helped by local nonprofit organizations, mutual aid groups, like, say, the South Bronx Mutual Aid Group, which, you know, arrives at the Port Authority early in the morning, anytime there's word that a bus is gonna be arriving. And as you can imagine, these people have spent perhaps months in a journey. They're, you know, just physically exhausted, emotionally, you know, rattled. Who knows what other kind of problems they're dealing with in terms of trauma. And so these people are taken into the system, helping them, you know, find their place. Some of these are families, right? They may be mothers. Many of them are, you know, young adult men who've made that journey. Sometimes you have families being separated in terms of where they can settle down in the shelter system. It can be very confusing. There's, of course, a huge language barrier often. But some people are making their way with the help of city officials or these nonprofit groups to, you know, to homes, to private homes, sometimes to relatives, sometimes to being redirected from New York to, say, Charlotte or to Chicago, where they originally intended to go. So it's a very complicated and moving sort of a situation, but there are people who are trying to make it a little less convoluted.
What are, I know you've been reporting on this, you've been talking with folks. What are you hearing from migrants who are in this circumstance?
I've only spoken to one or two. I mean, I think, you know, some of them, they speak to this really kind of painful journey that they've made, first of all, just to make the decision to leave the only country they've ever known, say, Venezuela, the sacrifices that that entails, leaving children behind. Perhaps I met one person who had, you know, carried his 11-year-old daughter, you know, the whole journey. She has scoliosis and, you know, multiple sclerosis. So she's not capable of walking her own. So, you know, people who are literally carrying people, sometimes multiple children, you hear hundreds, if not thousands of miles through extremely dangerous and hostile territory at times to get here. So this speaks to what they're willing to do to get to a less dangerous situation. Now, whether their conditions that they're leaving qualify for asylum is a whole nother thing, because there are very specific requirements to qualify for asylum. Have you been persecuted, or do you fear harm based on race, religion, politics? And so those things a judge in, you know, in the United States will have to decide. And so these people right now, they're just trying to settle down to some situation where they have, you know, basic sustenance, you know, clothing. All their stuff has been taken from them at the border, and now they're just simply trying to kind of begin a new chapter in their life.
Final question for you. Given that this has been going on over the course of this month, it's my understanding that there are the tide of this is not has not slowed. Should we expect federal intervention to engage with this question, or will the sort of politics of it quiet down? What are your thoughts about sort of what's next in this?
I think that a lot of people feel that, you know, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas has, even people on the left side of the aisle think, you know, he's done something very politically savvy by sort of forcing this issue onto states like New York, which seem to have been kind of, you know, caught off guard. Mayor Adams seems to have been kind of caught off guard. And that's not just because of this, but because of, again, local politics and what he's dealing with on the housing crisis over here. And of course, Governor Greg Abbott is involved in a very tight race, trying to hold on to his seat. He's competing against Beto O'Rourke. He may finally prevail, but he's certainly been able to use this to his advantage. And it also points to failings, shortcomings in the, you know, in who controls the border and whether the Biden administration can actually get a handle on what's happening there, because it certainly does involve, CBP, Customs and Border Patrol officials, and not just Texas officials, in terms of how these people are getting on buses, heading to somewhere that they don't want to go against their will, and throwing this entire system into doubt. And so I think the Biden administration is going to have to get a better handle on this. And it's not just a matter for local states like New York or others to really kind of grapple with on their own.
Arun Venugopal is race and justice senior reporter at WNYC and Gothamist. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Melissa.